Good morning, Marion. This is Linda Sims here live on WGH Talk. How you doing today? We can tell that fall is upon us. The days are getting darker and gloomier, it seems like, right? And the leaves are changing colors a little bit more often than they were a week or so ago. So I know a lot of you are ready for October, and I see a lot of, advertisements for Halloween and the decor changing on people's doors and walkways. Well, that's what we do, don't we? Enjoy yourselves. Always take time out to enjoy your life. And smell, well, I can't say smell the roses because they're out of season, right? But enjoy yourself. Drink your coffee and your tea and have a good time. And enjoy your life. We only have one. Remember that. We have one life to enjoy. So do your best to enjoy it to the fullest. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. Or you can download a free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH. Or you can call in during a live broadcast like right now by calling 740-383-9944. If you would like to ask any questions or make any comments according to the subject or my guest that I have today. Also, let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, and that is starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC of 1325 North Main Street here in Marion, Ohio. Number here is 43302. The number here there is 740-382-8552. That's Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist. We have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson of 582 Lee Street here in Marion, Ohio. Her number at the church, 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement, free produce every third Saturday of every month. The next will take place October 21st. It begins at 12 noon until 2 p.m. They also have a wellness fitness walk area adjacent to their church that is open to the public, so take advantage of it. We also have Cheryl Lee. She is the coordinator for Child's Evangelism Fellowship, known as the Good News Club, which is a faith-based after-school program located in all Marion City and County Elementary Schools, along with North Union's City and County Elementary Schools. Cheryl Lee can be contacted at 740-262-0939 if you are interested in your students becoming a part of this program, or contact your local elementary school's office, and you should be able to find registration forms for your students. Okay, I'd like to start my show off with a thought for today. This thought is entitled Create Vision. Never believe anyone who says we cannot change. Vision is one of the secrets of personal transformation. We are all artists. Our mind is the arena of creation, and vision is what we are constantly creating. Always start with vision, not action. See it and you will be it. Be it and you will do it. This is how we create our own life. What a thought for today. Isn't that great? Glenn Coble is my guest today. He is running for mayor of Marion, Ohio. Let's give Glenn a hand. That's a big step in life.
Yes,
it is.
That vision statement. Kind of interesting, because that's exactly one of the pillars of my campaign is vision for Marion.
Okay.
As opposed to shooting my mouth off,
right. We
have to find a way to make a better life for all people here in Marion.
That's true.
That's really what I'm attempting to do. Now, I hear this morning my opponent has already decided that he's won, and in his billboard has thanked Marion. I guess he's thanking them for the win, but I don't know what to say. I would never be so presumptuous as that.
Yeah.
But maybe he's that confident, and if he is, then more power to him, I guess.
Well, just like to create vision. If you can yes. see it, you can be it, right?
That's right. Yes. And vision really can lead your life. If you think, well, one of the things that I've always done, my mom and sister, they were strong proponents of this. If you think you're a good person, you will be a good person.
Yes.
Now, good person has its own definition, but in our family, it was all based around the Methodist Church, so that was the good vision, and I think we had a, with the possible exception of my brother, we had a remarkable family. Now, my brother was a little crazy, nice guy, I loved him dearly, but he was a little, he liked to refer to himself as the respectable hood.
Okay.
Back when hoods meant you were a bad guy. Yeah.
Yes.
No, not neighborhoods.
Okay.
Meant you were a hoodlum.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think it still means that. Yeah. That hasn't changed.
Yeah. Anyway, that's where I come from. When I lived in South Bend, Indiana, being called a hood meant you were, a hoodlum.
Right.
And it was usually meant with kind of tongue in cheek. It wasn't meant you really were a criminal.
Right.
Just meant
right.
you were a little wild. And my brother was a little wild. Okay. I got in more trouble because I hid some of the things my brother did, like smoking. I once told my mother that that pack of cigarettes you found was mine.
Oh, really?
When I was like, I don't know, 6 or 7.
Really?
To cover for my brother.
Oh, my.
Now, my brother was 8 years older than me, so anyway. But,
and she bought that? She probably didn't believe
that. I'm sure she didn't believe it. You know, when you're a little kid, you think your parents believe everything. But
you try it.
Yeah.
You sure do.
Yeah, I loved growing up in South Bend. South Bend is a nice city. A lot of people didn't like South Bend because it was an industrial city.
Mm-hmm.
Studebaker was going strong when I was growing up there. But we lived in a beautiful home. It was the parsonage for St. Paul's Methodist Church.
Okay.
And St. Paul's Methodist Church was built by, I have forgotten his name anyway. He was the original owner of Studebaker. But it was a beautiful stone building, it still exists. And it had the baptismal fount was taken from the Acropolis, the big temple in Greece, the Apocalypse. No, not the Apocalypse. Anyway, it was taken from there and turned into a baptismal fountain. There were all sorts of relics in the church that were just beautiful.
Sounds beautiful.
It
yes.
was. Yeah.
Yes.
And the stained glass window that was over the sanctuary had to be 40 to 50 feet tall. It was at least, 30 to 40 feet tall. It was at least 3 or 4 stories tall.
Right.
And it was Jesus preaching the Sermon on the Mount in front of the Acropolis, or whatever the name of that building.
I think that's it.
Yeah, okay. And, when you're a preacher's kid, you just love the church because you found all the different secret hiding places. I had a place that I'd leave messages for girlfriends that nobody could find. No matter how young I was, I had girlfriends.
Right,
I had.
Right.
I remember my mother told me when I was much later, she said, "Did you really have 21 girlfriends when you were 6 years old?" Well, I guess that's what I told her.
Right, but also in your mind, right?
Yeah. Oh, well.
You had not gone through the process of elimination yet.
Right, yeah. I haven't even figured out what elimination was then.
Right,
yeah.
6 years old. Wow. I admire your memory way back when you're like 2 or 3 years old.
Don't ask me about what happened yesterday, okay?
Oh. That is quite amazing because a lot of, just like me, maybe 5 years old, that stands out to me.
Yeah.
You're way back at 2 and 3.
I did a, I guess you'd call it a book about myself. What is that called?
biography.
Yeah, kind of a biography on myself.
Okay.
So that I could give it to my kids when I'm gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I went from the day I was, my first remembrance, which I told you was right. When I got in my father's 39 Ford and crashed it down the driveway. I wrote everything from then to actually up until I went to work at the credit union here in town. And I had, I think, 180 some pages of remembrances. And that really helped me solidify a lot of those memories from way, way gone by. Now, my wife points out to me that during the period of between when we first met and when we got married, some of my remembrances are different than hers.
But
you know, that's the way life is too. You see things with different eyes. But
that's true. So
but
true.
Anyway, I loved doing that memoir. That was the word I was looking memoir. For. I'm glad I did it. I don't think I would ever publish it because there are things in it that are pretty private.
True. But you felt like you wanted to share with your children.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not going to I did show it to my eldest. And he said, "Dad, you can't publish that. That's too dirty." So
okay,
I did.
Okay, I'm
and
not going to ask about the parts.
Well,
too dirty.
Christopher, my eldest, has published 12, 13, 14 books, something like that.
Okay.
And he just said nobody would ever take that book. I'd have to clean it up, and I'd have to delete some of the things.
There used to be dirty books out there. They don't publish dirty books anymore.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they do.
I'm sure they do, too.
But when I was a kid, the dirty book was Lady Chatterley's Lover, and it wasn't dirty at all if you read it now. Yeah, and I can't remember. There were several books. Candy, that was pretty dirty. I did read that. That's the only book reading that I did as a youth was dirty books. So.
Okay. I remember there were some around, you know, especially when your schoolmates have them and pass them around. You know, some were pretty dirty. Some was just awful. You couldn't read them. You just throw them in the trash or pass it to the next person. So I do want to ask you.
Sure.
How does that make you feel that your opponent already has billboards up saying, "Thank you, Marion"? What do you think he's thanking Marion for?
The only thing I can think of is he's thanking them for the victory, which would seem a little presumptuous.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I don't agree with him. I think he probably is going to win. I mean, he's definitely got the money on his side, as you can tell by all the huge signs he has out.
Yeah.
He also has the party right now that Ohio and Marion seem to be supporting. What I have on my side, however, is I have the party that's supporting him. The party that's supporting him is as corrupt as they come right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go at the national level, you can go at the state level, and you can go at the local level. There is corruption ripe in that party right now. Not that everybody that is a Republican is corrupt. Matter of fact, I would say a major percentage are not corrupt. But
and they say the same about the Democratic Party. So
well, they may say it,
yeah.
But the Democrats can prove it. The Republicans haven't come up with a whole lot of proof, you know, like this Biden thing that they're trying to impeach him.
Mm-hmm.
But even the Republicans are saying, "Well, I don't think we have any proof on that."
Right.
And so they're kind of backing off on that.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to get his son. Now, his son did do some wrong things. But there are things that most people they would be fined for, but mm-hmm. they're not huge things. And, yeah, there are some things that he's done. But I don't think you can find too many local Democrats, too many statewide Democrats, or too many national Democrats that you can point a finger at and say, that person is corrupt. He's done something wrong.
Right.
Now, this new Menendez thing, the senator from New Jersey, I'm a little concerned that he is definitely corrupt. This is the second time he's been called up on corruption charges. That's another reason why we need a second a party. If you have only one party, and right now in Marion and in Ohio, we really only have one party that has any power. If you only have one party, the other party has nothing they can do to correct. They can't look over the shoulder because they have no way to defeat your power. So we need more Democrats, if for no other reason than accountability of the Republicans.
Right. So you are appealing to the Democratic Party as a whole.
Yeah, absolutely.
For our county, and not only our county, but for our state.
Well, and also, most of the Democrats that I know in Marion, and also statewide and nationally, are very supportive. And they're supportive of gays. They're supportive of blacks. They're supportive of all religions. They're supportive of Native Americans. They're supportive people. Mm-hmm. They're trying to find a way to draw America together as it should be.
Right.
As a democracy should be. And democracy, I was listening last night to a thing where they were saying democracy's become a word that nobody knows what it means. Mm-hmm. Well, it basically means one person, one vote. And it's an honest way of keeping other people in line. But if you have no power, if right. you're the Democratic Party in Marion or Ohio, what are you going to do if Larry Householder steals $60 million? It's going to take you 4 or 5 years to get anything done, and only because it was $60 million. I mean, there are, I'm sure, other corruptions that have gone on that kind of get washed under the boards because we only have one party that's watching. We need a second party to keep the first party accountable.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%.
And you know, gerrymandering doesn't help that. Not that our statewide officials are gerrymandered to win, but the state is gerrymandered so that the Republican Party looks like the winning party, therefore everybody says, well, I guess I'll vote Republican. Everybody else is doing it.
Yeah. Right. or they're going to win anyway.
Yeah,
that's another
right.
excuse.
That's why my opponent can put up a big billboard that says, thanks, Marion.
Yeah. Or they'll say, well, they're going to do what they want to do anyway.
Yeah.
I hear that a lot amongst
yeah.
my people. You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? They're going to do what they want to do anyway. But you do have a vote. You do have a voice.
Yeah. Use
this democratic system, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Democrat with a small D in that one.
Okay.
Democratic system.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's we need to exercise our governmental rights rather than go home and cry about it.
Right.
Got to work at it.
Or just don't care about it at all. A lot of people have lost interest at all.
That we were talking about that. I was on Scott's show last night, Scott Spears.
Mm-hmm.
I was on his show last night, and we were talking about that. People have kind of given up worrying
checked
about
out.
It.
Checked out, yeah.
Yeah. Checked out is a great expression, yeah.
Yeah.
And you can't check out. If you do, you're leaving it to the bad guys, and that's what we've gotten. We have a United States that is controlled by money,
mm-hmm.
It seems like.
Yes, it is.
And even the good guys have to count on the money, which makes it really bad. Excuse me, I have to cough.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry about that. But Scott asked me last night how much I had raised. Mm-hmm. Well, very little.
Right.
I don't believe in money makes politics. I believe that ideas make good politics, and that's what I'm running on. Now, I've raised enough money, or I'm putting my own money into my campaign, but yeah, it's kind of tough when we have Citizens United that say they big corporations can give as much money as they want. Sorry about that. I've got the same cold that Nicole Wallace has on TV.
Don't feel bad. I have that bronchitis. Been dealing with that a month.
Yeah,
well, 6 weeks.
This has been about 2 weeks. I decided I would go ahead and take a COVID test, and I'm okay. So.
Yeah, I was too. They make you take all that stuff anyway.
Yeah, you worry about it.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what we're doing on our political side. We're also, well, I'm on your show today. I was on Scott's show last night. I have a RV that I've got covered with a banner on both sides and the back, asking people to vote for me, and I've been parking it around, and people have been applauding, waving, honking as they go by.
That's great.
To do all of the above. Be careful. If you're driving by me and I'm driving next to you, don't honk too loud. I'm driving a 25-foot RV, so be careful around me. I'm a pretty good driver, but anyway, we're doing that. We will have the League of Women's Voters program next week, I think. I think it's the 10th of October, I think. And I will be there. And my opponent will be there, and I've already done written up my 90-second, I'm allowed to give a 90-second speech, and I've
Where's
already...
Where's it going to be at?
Oh, boy, I wish you hadn't asked so quickly.
No, sorry.
I think it's, I don't know, it might be, I better not say, because somebody will go to the wrong place. If you get on... Well, no, the League of Women Voters doesn't really publicize it on the internet. But I'll tell you what, I will find out where it is, and I will leave a message with Scott so that he publicizes it.
Or text it to me.
Yeah.
Leave a message one or the other. Wow. Okay. That's great. And you're going to be there, and
absolutely.
Bill's going to be there.
Yeah.
You said there's a female also running for mayor.
No, she has resigned.
She resigned.
Yeah, she got out. She's lived right across the street from right here.
Right, right. Okay.
And but she decided to get out. She was listed as an independent, but she probably was more of a Republican than anything. So she had voted Republican in the past. So.
Okay.
I'm not sure. Did we talk on the air or off the air about the salary? I think it was off the air.
Oh, you mentioned it on the air.
Did I?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take my if they give me that big salary, I'm going to take part of that, and I'm going to pay somebody to help manage the city.
Right. So, what do you think, in your opinion, has caused the decline of Democratic voters?
Well, gerrymandering doesn't help.
No, it doesn't.
And I think the decline has stopped. I think it's starting to turn the other way.
Well, good.
I think what caused the decline is marketing. Donald Trump was very good at marketing. Mm-hmm. It was, for whatever you want to say about Mr. Trump, he's a good marketer. And honesty be damned, he'll tell you whatever he thinks you want to hear.
Yes.
And that's the way our government has started to turn. And apparently, people are foolish enough to believe everything. Every time I hear some of this stuff, I scratch my head and go, how in the world can somebody believe that? And I'm sorry, I don't think of the people as stupid. I think they're lazy. They don't want to look up the real facts. They would rather take some soundbite that's been developed by Mr. Trump's group, and all they care about is getting the word out that they're good. They've taken the soundbites, and they just reiterate those. I can remember... when one of the newspapers was keeping track of the number of lies that Donald Trump had told, and I think it was like 35,000 or something like that at one point. And I asked a friend of mine who was a good Republican, and I have a lot of friends. I was a Republican for half my life. I asked him, what do you think about all these lies that your candidate is saying? Oh, That's a lie. They're, you know, they're not telling the truth. He hasn't told 35,000. Well, he's told them out in front of the world, and then changed his mind and told the other side.
Unapologetically. He does not apologize for anything he says or does. You know.
No.
Whatever he feels like doing, he does.
I've been watching Cassidy Hutchinson, the young lady that spoke before the January 6th committee, mm-hmm. And who is a Republican, and still is a Republican. She believes the Republican Party is going to switch back. That would be wonderful. We need a two-party system with two parties that are viable. Mm-hmm. Right now we have one viable party and another party that just 50% of them don't want to hear the truth. But anyway, listening to her, she's got a book out, of course. Naturally, her publisher gets her on all these talk shows.
Right.
And I know that seems a little corrupt right there, but that's the way they sell books. And but anyway, she's on, and she, if you listen to her, most people can tell when somebody's lying to them.
True.
And she is not lying. And she's very hesitant to criticize anybody from her party unless they deserve the criticism. And I've been listening to her quite a bit. And I can't imagine my friends who are real Republicans, mm-hmm. I can't imagine that they hear her and go, I'm going to vote for Donald Trump. The thing that drives me crazy is people hear all this stuff. They know that he's telling lies. They know that he's probably the worst thing that could happen to America if he becomes...
Yeah, it'd be worse than it was the first time.
Yeah, and they know that, and yet they say, well, if you had a choice between Donald Trump and any Democrat, which would you take? Donald Trump. And that just... That dumbfounds me. Yeah, I just can't imagine that.
It does. People looking at, some of them are looking at the fact that, you know, their stocks and bonds, you know, they got all this money when he was in office last time with president. Oh, yeah.
My 401k just stayed about the same as it was before, yeah. Well,
not everyone's. Not everyone's. Oh, Donald Trump, I had my stocks or 401k went straight up and all that, you know.
Well, be careful listening to that, because a lot of people that want you to vote for Donald Trump will tell you anything, including my stocks went way up.
Yeah.
So be careful of that.
Yeah. But, yeah, and I guess it was true of some people, but, you know, it depends on where you have your money at, invest it.
Well, and also, you know, what does that say about his government? His government
only...
He's
a businessman.
Well, I question that anymore, but especially since he's been sued by the United... He can't practice business in the state of New York as of, what, 3 days ago?
Really?
Yeah, a judge came out and said it was corrupt. All of his... organizations.
Dealings and all?
Yeah.
Wow.
He can't practice business in this, and nor can his family. So now that's a temporary thing that could be changed. So stay tuned.
Oh, my. So things are.
But there must be some. If there's that much smoke there, there must be a little bit of fire somewhere there.
There must be. I don't know. I guess I'm kind of confused, and I don't like to be confused about anything. Where it comes to the former president, that he's even being considered again to run.
Yeah.
And that kind of baffles me, you know. What?
Me too.
What do people want from him?
Well, he gives them whatever they want. And the confusion is really what he wants to keep going. Because if you're confused, you say, well, maybe it's me, not him. Well, it's him.
I'm wondering where everyone else's mind is.
Yeah,
I'm
kind of
like you. What are you thinking? You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, we need, if nothing else, here in Marion, if you believe that you're being taken for a ride by that man and his minions, which the Republican Party is ruled by right now, vote for me, because I will keep my eyes on those people. And I'll tell you what, there are some Republican councilmen here in Marion that I like a lot, mm-hmm. and I like that they have guts, and I like that they where they stand.
Oh, yeah.
But we need somebody to keep an eye. If you have, if nobody's watching the chicken house, that fox is going to walk right in and take one away.
Not just one, as many as they want, you know. Yeah. If you're not looking. And I want to hear some of that you were talking about. Our mayor right now who sits.
Our mayor? Oh.
Yeah, I want to hear some of that.
Well.
At least a little bit about it.
All right. I was
brought that on, though.
Yeah. I was asked last night on the Scott Spear show, or whatever the name of that show is. He asked me what I felt, what the problem with the Democratic Party is in Marion. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I really think that the Democrats in Marion have dropped the ball. They're not working hard enough to get other Democrats strengthened. So we don't have a team. And he said, well, do you think the mayor has anything to do with it? I said, absolutely. Mm-hmm. The mayor is the head of the Democratic Party in Marion, whether he wants to admit it or not.
Right, right.
And I truly believe the mayor should be held accountable for the falling apart of the Democratic Party in Marion over the last 10 years.
It's been a while.
I think he got tired. And I understand that. He's been in there for four terms.
Yes.
And I think at the beginning of the fourth term, he was just doing it by memory. You know, he's a very good administrator in that he knows all the stuff mm-hmm. that you have to do.
Right.
And he's absolutely right. I don't know all the stuff, mm-hmm. but neither does my opponent.
Right.
Scott asked me if I was trying to get an endorsement from him. And quite frankly, I'm not. If he endorses me, that would be wonderful. If he doesn't endorse me, that'd be fine too.
And that should be a given.
Well, I don't.
I mean, he ran on a Democratic ticket for four terms, which is like 16 years. Why wouldn't he do that?
Yeah, and he was the one that allowed me to be the person that was going to run in his place. Mm-hmm. Not that he didn't call me and ask me to run or anything, but we had nobody running,
right.
And it was 3 days until the petitions had to be in, and I asked him, would you want me to run? And then I went in that Monday morning to tell him, well, I understand. I don't have time enough to get the petitions done, and
right.
You guys probably don't want me to run. And he said, run.
Right, of course.
But that was the last time I got any support from him. And that's what's been disappointing to me about about our mayor. I like him. I think he's a good mayor. I think he knows all the things you have to know as a mayor. But you can know the whole thing, but if you get so tired, you don't want to do anything because you've got it down to rote memory.
Yeah.
It doesn't
maybe
help
that's
Marion.
It, you know. Yeah. Right. Maybe that's it. It's all script.
And, we have two people running for mayor. Neither of us have any background in running for mayor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've had a lot of administrative background with lots of different administrations.
Right.
Athletics. I own my own business. Financial institution.
Right.
He's been a cop all his life. Now, he's been a top cop, so he's had administrative experience that way, but only as a cop. And one of my concerns about that is, and I would think you as an African American would be a little concerned about it, how many young black men have been shot by cops, and then the top cop lets the other cop get off? A lot. And I'm worried about that.
Yeah, I can't per se too much in Marion, but...
No, and I wouldn't say that my opponent would ever do that. I think he'd be honest about that sort of thing. But the perception is there. What happens if the top administrator in a city has been a cop for 37 years? How's he going to handle situations where young people are shot and killed on the street?
Right. And not just being shot and killed, but you're also looking at whatever the crime may be and the punishment.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's given to African American young
right.
boys and young women, you know, and even no matter whether they're young or old, the perception is, and not just a perception, but when you go back and look at reality and yeah. facts, you know, they're more, Caucasian is more favored to yeah. get a slap on the back of the hand, you know.
If you're standing in front of a Republican white yes. female judge, which there is one running, mm-hmm. And you're an African American, are you trying to tell me that she won't have some sort of thing in the back of her head saying, well, he's probably guilty because he's a black guy? She would never say that.
Of course.
But her head would be telling her, well, it's probably more likely that he would have done that.
Well, I think some of that is kind of protocol, don't you think?
Like, it may be, yeah.
And expect it.
Yeah.
You know,
especially in the city of Marion,
yeah, expect
where
it.
We have lots of old white guys that want that type of justice, which is kind of.
And then, and I think not only that, you have people out here, especially this drug mm-hmm. addiction and overdosing. You have people that more favored. I'm not going to say favored, but it was more in the white, the Caucasian population. They were doing the overdosing.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. It was basically almost all Caucasian people that were ODing and being, you know, being associated with heroin. Okay, so, and a lot of those people, and I can understand, who had lost their loved ones, wanted justice.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, they went after African Americans and anybody really that had anything to do with drugs, whether it was marijuana, heroin, cocaine, whatever right. it was, you know, meth and all that. So I feel like a lot of them were just sent down the river.
Yeah.
Just sent down the river. Okay, so drugs has created its own economy.
Yeah, I'm sure it has.
Whether it's legal or not. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like really going to a factory and getting a paycheck anymore. You know, so it has its own economy. It has people working in the system.
Yeah.
You know,
making a lot of money.
Yeah, making a lot of money. So why are black youth targeted the most where it comes to it and given the hardest length of time, life?
Well, let me propose to you. Who gets the least amount of pay in this city? The lowest amount. I would say it's probably a black male or female. What's the easiest way to make quick money? It's drugs.
Oh yeah.
And
but it's a business also.
Yeah, and but do you not believe that the people that are selling it don't say, if I give it to that person who's an African American black guy, he needs the money more than that person over there who's a white female, you know. So, yeah, it's kind of baked into the system, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's, we...
It's, like I said, it's like protocol. It's like expected, you know.
Yeah.
These are the ones that will be targeted because it's in their hands, you know. Well, where did it come from? They don't go for the person who's putting it in their black hands. They're not looking for those people.
Yeah.
We'll just get them who has it in their hands at the time, and we'll just ship them off, you know.
Yeah, that'll end everything, except they have a well-supplied...
Right, we just don't want them to be targeted because Republican rule, you know,
yeah.
which is what our city has been about, even our state, Republican rule. Okay, so who gets the, you know, the blunt end of that?
Well, I'm going to take you back to the 50s and 60s, and then it was Democrat rule, and
okay.
they were just as corrupt. There was nobody looking over their shoulders.
Okay, I believe
we've got to have a choice. We have to have, for every Republican in charge, we have to have a Democrat watching over their shoulders. For every Democrats who's in charge, we need a Republican looking over their shoulders.
I agree with that. We need balance.
Yeah, we do. Absolutely.
Right, and now our system is very unbalanced, but we need balance.
That's what gerrymandering does.
Right.
It may not change... The governor isn't selected based on gerrymandering. Everybody gets a vote in this state. But the perception mm-hmm. is that the Republicans are in charge, so I'll vote for the Republican. Yeah, that type of thing.
Right.
Now, I'm going to take you back to the 50s and 60s. We have had very much the same corruption back then that we have now. It's just switched a little bit of what the item of choice. It's now gone into the fentanyl and stuff like that.
Oh,
where
yeah.
Back in my day, it was actually marijuana. They thought marijuana was horrible.
But that's legal now.
Yeah. But back when I was in the 60s, when right. I was a young person, I remember watching a movie called Reefer Madness. And not only was it a movie, it was a movie that was presented in high school.
Really?
Reefer Madness. And it was about these poor white kids. And they were white, if I recall correctly. They were all going crazy because they were taking marijuana.
They're part of
marijuana.
That as well. Yeah. Not just blacks, but poor whites. They're part of it.
Yeah.
Know.
So, poor people have had a struggle. It really hasn't changed a whole lot.
No, it has not.
Except
you're so right about that.
The rich people have gotten richer. Yeah, I
and
was.
The poor has gotten poor.
Yeah, I was watching this thing, the union labor problem. They were talking to the CEO, happens to be a woman, mm-hmm. of GM, I believe it is, who makes $16 million a year, and the people on the line. They may be making 50,000,
right?
But they're not making anywhere near.
Oh no!
Their salaries haven't gone up nearly as much as her salary has gone up. And then they have the gall to try to bust the union. I'm a very strong union supporter. I have never been in a union. Mm. My father was a strong union supporter, and as a minister, he wasn't right. in a union either. But as I think I told you, he was pretty liberal. He marched in Selma and that sort of thing. So he was a pretty liberal Methodist minister. It angers me mm-hmm. what we've done. We've just changed the modus of delivery.
Right.
To the bad stuff, but we've still used the poor people
right.
to deliver it.
Oh, of course, of course. And we're always the culprit, right? It's always us.
Well, I don't think of myself as a poor person anymore because I'm on Social Security, so I'm doing
oh,
okay.
Wow, we're rich now, aren't we? My father is rich, you know. My Lord and Savior, he's rich. He says the whole world
I
is
hope
mine.
He's not on Social Security.
Oh, no, he doesn't have to be. He says all the gold and silver is his, you know. What we have here is temporary because yeah. we definitely cannot take it with us when we leave.
Absolutely cannot.
We came here with nothing, and it's certain we will leave here with nothing,
yeah,
right?
Right.
All right.
I hope there's somebody up there that'll still wipe my butt for me, though.
Hopefully you won't need it wiped, right?
Maybe
to
not.
Take
yeah.
care of you, right? Amen, amen. We're out of time, Glenn.
I'm sorry.
That's okay, but it's been a good time, and I have enjoyed you. Hopefully those of you who are listening have enjoyed Glenn Coble. Remember, vote Democrat and refresh yourself, you know.
Please.
And get up and go and vote, okay? Till next time, be blessed. Thank you.
You're listening to The Talking Place. Just listen to former star of The Jeffersons and